Hey there, and welcome to the Confident Woman Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Brooks. Join me as I sit down and chat with co-hosts, friends, and carefully curated guests and talk about all the things that empower you to become your best and most confident self. So let's get started. All right, ladies, welcome back. Today we have with us Molly McNamee. Molly is an online fitness coach and the founder of MFit Workouts. She specializes in exercise for nervous system regulation and anxiety. She believes that the secret to looking your best lies in your stress, or more specifically, your stress hormones. Her mission is to help people use exercise to calm stress so the body can actually feel safe letting go of excess fat. And who doesn't want that, right? So we have an incredible conversation on deck. And so I would love for you, Molly, to share with our listeners more about you and what got you into all the good works that you do.
Yeah, well, first, thank you for having me on, Rachel. I'm really excited to have this conversation with you. What got me passionate about this was really my own experience. About 5 or 6 years ago, I reached rock bottom with my own health, both my mental health and my physical health. At that time, my anxiety was out of control. I was having 1 to 3 panic attacks every single day. And I didn't know why. It wasn't like my life was really stressful at that time. I just felt really anxious always. I was also dealing with some pretty severe bloating and insomnia. I was struggling to fall asleep and stay asleep. And then just the cherry on top of all of that was that my weight was completely unpredictable. So I could gain 20, 30 pounds in a month without changing anything about my diet or my exercise routine. So at the time, I was a coach. I was exercising a lot. I was eating ridiculously healthy. So it didn't make sense to me why I was having such a tough time just maintaining my weight. And all of those problems kind of got worse and worse over the course of a few years, rock bottom, and I needed to know what was going on with my body. And that's when I discovered that the reason I was experiencing all of that was that my nervous system was dysregulated and my stress hormones were imbalanced. My exercise routine and my lifestyle was making those things worse. So all of the things that I was doing that I thought were really good for me were actually making it harder for me to look and feel the way that I wanted to. So once I discovered that, I researched a bunch, I studied a bunch, I tried a bunch of different things, and I was able to heal my body and my nervous system. And now I'm sharing my methodology with the world because I just don't want anyone else to have to go through what I went through. And unfortunately, my story is not that unique. There are so many people who struggle with similar things and they don't know why they're struggling with those things. But stress in the nervous system is just a huge part of that conversation. And I feel like it's not talked about enough in the fitness industry. In fact, a lot of big fitness trends can be detrimental to your nervous system. So I really just try to shine a light on why we should be so focused and why we should care about our stress as we move our bodies and work on our health.
Ooh, this is going to be a great conversation because I have questions. I feel like the timing of my own life aligns with our guests. And I'm like, have you been reading my diary? Like, how do you know this? And this is wild. And I can relate to so much of what you shared. And like you said, even though your story doesn't feel unique, the experience does. And I had been battling something very similar where I was just like, how, what, why, where, how did this happen? And I can, you know, with my background in health and fitness too, I'm a former fitness competitor, very much like you, knew exactly how to eat, my movements, my workouts, all the things. But then how did that happen? Like it felt like it happened overnight. So I would love for you to share like some of the symptoms and the things that you were recognizing, like, this is out of whack. This is not my typical body. This is not how I'm supposed to feel. Like, what would somebody who might be listening think, gee, could that be me? So I'd love for you to unpack that.
Yeah, well, there are a lot of symptoms that you can look out for. And I didn't personally experience every symptom that you can have. But for me, I'll speak to what my experience was. And a lot of these I kind of brushed off as normal for a very long time. They're going to be like, well, that's just a part of being a woman or aging or whatever it may be. But if you're experiencing a lot of these things, then that all kind of comes back to your nervous system. So I was really struggling to sleep. I would feel tired all day long. I would feel like I needed a nap. And then the second my head would hit the pillow at night, I would feel wide awake. like all of my thoughts would be racing. I'd be like, I have all the energy now. Maybe I should just sleep during the day and work at night. Those are thoughts that I would have. I would also wake up around 3 to 4 a.m. every single day. And that is a big indication of specifically a cortisol imbalance in your body if you're waking up around those hours. A couple of really obscure things I was experiencing is my arms and legs were always bruised. So I was bruising really easily. If your nervous system is dysregulated, your body is just more sensitive to a lot of things. So you may not really know where are these bruises coming from, but you could just bruise from gently hitting your arm against a table. Also, I was sick all of the time. I felt like I was always the one person in my friend group who would catch a cold no matter where we went. I would just be the one person who would text the group and be like, anyone else sick today? And no one else was. I was also dealing with chronic UTIs at the time, which is also an indication that your immune system is weak, and your immune system can be weak if your nervous system is dysregulated. I had pretty severe bloating, and some bloating is normal. I looked like I was 6 months pregnant every single night, and that was really frustrating to me because I was working out a bunch, and at the time, I was in my mid-20s. I was like, I should be able to wear a tight dress out and feel really good at night, but I never could just because I was that bloated and that uncomfortable. There were a lot of things, and I've definitely worked with clients before who have similar things, or other people are having irregular periods. Some people are losing their hair. There's a lot of things that you could experience, but those were just some of my main things. And again, I was like, all of this is normal. We're fine. Until it just weighed down on me so much where I was like, what's going on? This shouldn't be happening.
Yeah, I'm sorry you had to go through that because it's definitely no fun to experience this. And when we start thinking, okay, one thing's happening, okay, we dismiss it. As you said, we brush it off. It's just that one thing. And then you look back and like, no, these are all connected. So how long into this journey of self-discovery of figuring out what is wrong, how long were these symptoms showing up and greatly impacting your life?
So the symptoms were probably in my life for a few years, at least. I felt my anxiety trickling up and becoming more intense over the course of a couple of years, but I was experiencing the bloating and the insomnia for honestly probably 3 years. Unfortunately, or I guess fortunately, I got in a hiking accident and I got a concussion, which is what forced me to kind of change my lifestyle and realize that these were real problems that I was having, because after allowing my body to rest and heal from that concussion, a lot of those symptoms went away. And I was like, that's really strange. Why would I be feeling better right now after resting? And I was like, oh gosh, my body, my nervous system was a mess. And that's why I was experiencing all of those things. So I always like am a little ashamed to admit that, like, I think that if I hadn't injured myself, if I hadn't gotten in that hiking accident, I may still have all of these same symptoms and I may still be ignoring them. But the fact that I was forced to rest and I was forced to address how my body was feeling, I was able to then make the changes. But I probably suffered through those symptoms for at least 3 years, and I just kept being like, it's fine.
And you sometimes you just have no idea what's happening. And when they're so small and subtle, these changes, and you mask it as, I just got the flu, or I got sick, or I got that, or maybe it's the time of the month that I'm bloated. And we can always find these excuses because it's so easy to point to the tangible, the things that we can see, than the unseen. And the unseen is that stress. I mean, we can look at it and be like, oh, our life is fine, or things aren't so stressful. But what is that internal gauge telling us? That's kind of like that thermostat that's internal that sets our stress levels, even though we might not think it, but our body is signaling it.
Yeah. So that's something I've really learned about stress in the last few years, is that I used to think stress was just my interactions with the world. Like, but there are actually a lot of things that can stress out your body that you don't see. And I'm not saying that to scare your listeners, but there is a lot of unseen stress that can cause, as you said, that scale of stress that then becomes overwhelming to your body to tip overboard. The products that you're using to clean your home, the products you're using to clean your body, the air quality in the town that you live in, those types of things can stress out your body. Having just tight muscles all of the time can start to weigh down on you and create stress. If you have a lot of inflammation in your body, that can start to create stress. And even your exercise routine and your diet can create a lot of stress in your body. And I find that that is a big thing with the people that I work with, because the people that start working with me, this isn't their first time trying to lose weight or trying to build muscle. They've probably been trying for years to reach a certain goal and not really seeing a lot of success. And that means that's been years of potentially abusing diets, potentially over-exercising, and those things alone can create an overwhelm of stress in your body to a point where it becomes a problem.
Right. Let us not forget the main stressors that we all experience in pandemic.
Yeah.
We might think, okay, well, that's now 5 years ago, but there's always that aftershock, that after effect, because the best way I can describe it is there's a book I read titled The Body Keeps the Score. When something traumatic or of high stress happens to us, we might think in our mind, okay, we moved on, we've healed. But yet the body is absorbing what happened, and there's no way for us to physically see, like, oh, there's a cut on the arm. Let's put a bandage on it. Let's wrap it up and heal it. Because internally, it's been shook. It's been dismantled. And that can always create that foundation to which now we're trying to repair the outside, but we've never addressed the inside.
Absolutely. That is a big thing. A lot of us can wave a lot of things off as normal stress. So I always challenge the people that I talk to who say, oh, my life isn't very stressful right now. Well, let's talk about what is actually happening in your life. And then they list what's happening in their life. And I'm like, that sounds kind of stressful. You have just decided that that is normal, which is why it can sometimes be helpful to have an outside perspective or to journal or to like really kind of examine what is going on in my life. But the unseen, that's what we were talking about, right? How stress is something you don't see in your body. So you don't know how it's affecting you. And I say that, and a lot of people may be like, oh, well, that's kind of scary. There's nothing I can do about it then. But there's absolutely stuff that you can do about it. There's always going to be stress in your life. There's always going to be things that are stressing out your body. And there's really nothing you can do about that. You can't fully eliminate all stress, but there are things that you can do every day, and you can create habits that help you control that stress response so that stress doesn't start to consume your body. And that's what I really love to help people do, is create a lifestyle, create habits that then make that stress feel less overwhelming to their body. Well,
so then I guess my question, could we ever fully heal from stress, or do we just put it back at more of a manageable equilibrium, I guess? Like, there's balance in there that doesn't feel like it's disrupted. But is there a way to ever fully heal?
There's definitely ways to heal, obviously. And I also want to say, some stress in your body and in your life is not a bad thing. Not all stress is horrible. If you're giving a presentation in front of 100 people and you're feeling those jitters and some of that initial stress, that may help you perform better. So some stress is okay to have. If there is trauma in your body that's disrupting the way you think and the way you live and feel, that is trauma you can work on and heal from. That can be healed a bunch of different ways. People go to therapy, people work with different types of health coaches. So there is a way to heal the trauma, but I also want to just say the goal shouldn't be, okay, I want absolutely no stress, because that's unrealistic, but also that's not super helpful. Like, as a coach, I'm always advocating against extremes. So the goal is not no stress, just like the goal is not all the stress in the world. We want to be somewhere in the middle. So you really do want to be reaching for more of a balance. But if there is trauma in your body that needs to be healed, it needs to be healed, and it can be healed.
100%. So you mentioned some of your own personal symptoms and things that you were experiencing because you didn't know what you didn't know until you knew. So those that are listening, aside from the ones that Molly has shared, like bruising and feeling sick and UTIs and bloating and insomnia and things like that, but what are some other indicators? The reason I ask is I'll just share my personal experience. I noticed that I was losing hair and that I was not sleeping throughout the night. So it wouldn't be so much in the insomnia. I was very much restless sleep. There was never that deep quality, like REM sleep. When I would wake up, I never felt fully refreshed, like I slept a full night. Up and down mood swings. And sometimes those could be like, oh, that's just time of the month, or somebody pissed you off. Those are moments, but yet when they're lasting longer, they become more problematic than just symptomatic.
Yeah,
Okay.
absolutely. There are a lot of symptoms that you can look out for. You may not experience any of the things that I experience, and that's totally okay. But the way I like to explain a dysregulated nervous system, which basically just means your nervous system is stuck in fight or flight, is your body's always on edge and more sensitive. Some of the symptoms that I see that I didn't personally experience myself, if you're really jumpy, if you could kind of feel like you're jumping out of your skin because someone walks in a room, that could be a sign that your nervous system is constantly on edge. If you feel your heart racing randomly throughout the day, that's another big indication that something's up. But anything you kind of think of where it's like your body is just more sensitive to things. So maybe you're more sensitive to sound. Maybe you're losing your hair, as you said. Maybe you're having skin issues. Your body's just feeling more sensitive than you feel like it should be, whether that be your mood or your sleep. Your body's just kind of always on edge. If you're feeling always on edge, something can be up with your nervous system.
Yeah, that makes sense. And how would you, in your own words, differentiate between stress and anxiety?
No one's ever asked me that question before. I'm like, whoa, good question. So, as far as if someone has diagnosable anxiety versus if they're just stressed, is that kind of what your question is?
Yeah, because I feel like anxiety can make you feel stress, and stress can lead to anxiety.
And it can be a vicious cycle. Like one can lead to the other because anxiety can be caused by just a dysregulated nervous system. You may like start to develop anxiety because of what's going on in your body. That's fully possible. You can start to develop anxiety because of a hormonal imbalance. But how I would explain it is if you're trying to think, do I have anxiety or am I just stressed? Anxiety, people who have anxiety are always a little bit more on edge. So they're already starting at a higher point of just like sensitivity in their body and in their mind. I heard one therapist one time explain anxiety in a really cool way. They said, imagine you're in a parking lot and there is one car whose alarm just always goes off. Like a feather could touch it and the alarm goes off. That's kind of people with anxiety. Imagine you're that car whose alarm is just going off more easily for seemingly no reason. If you're feeling like that's you, then you may be an anxious person. I would say I have had high functioning anxiety for my whole life. So I've always kind of run on the high end of anxiety, but definitely stress in my life and stress in my body can make that worse or that can make that better. And then I've also met people who say they've never had anxiety in their life, but they've suddenly started having panic attacks because their nervous system is a mess. I don't know if this is really answering your question, but it is a complicated topic of like, as you said, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? I kind of would answer that as it doesn't matter. And I don't know if that's an answer everyone wants to hear. But if you are feeling more anxious and you've always felt anxious, then we need to start healing that. If you are feeling more anxious and you never felt anxious before, we still need to heal that. Whether it's a chronic thing or something that has just suddenly appeared in your life, still want to work on it to some capacity. So which came first?
Yeah.
Matter for you.
Right. And the way I think I would best explain it, because I've experienced both and even at the same time, I would say for me, it was environmental had exhibited more of the stressors, which were like the hair loss and the restless nights. And I've always been an anxious person. It's just, I'm born with it. It's like that drive, that fire that's always in me. So you've realized growing up, it's like, okay, that's just part of who you are. But then when something feels so awry, that I feel is the kind of dousing it with like, oh, we'll just throw some stress in there too. And then the
Yeah.
stress shows up more in the symptoms. Because if you've been battling anxiety your whole life, then you probably would have had hair loss and not sleeping. These are the symptoms, I think, for me that exhibited the difference. But one could exacerbate the other, I think.
I think what's important to look out for is, has there been a change?
Right.
And if you're noticing that there has been a change either in your existing anxiety that you have had all your life or in your normally very calm self, if there has been a change and an uptick in your sensitivity and in those symptoms and in those anxious feelings, then that's where you may want to start to examine, okay, what's going on and what's causing this uptick? And that is something that I definitely should have done sooner. Because, as you said, I was born anxious. I always joke that my very first memory was being anxious on a family vacation. So I've always had that in me, but I should have recognized, like, I don't usually have panic attacks every day. Why am I not having panic attacks every day? And then I let it get to the point where I was having multiple panic attacks every day. So that's clearly a change in my anxiety and something that should have, you know, clicked something in my head that something's up. But of course, you know, I was ignoring it. If you find yourself in a situation where you have noticed a change, and it could be like, honestly, any change is nice to examine. If you're like, oh, I'm feeling a lot better, then maybe examine, what have I been doing that may actually be supporting my nervous system and my anxiety more? Or if you're noticing things got worse, then it's like, okay, I need to figure out what's going on. Look out for the change.
I would second that, because to know yourself is to recognize the patterns and say, yeah, this sickness or the hair loss or whatever your symptoms are, pay attention to that when it first starts. And then when it becomes consistent, the alarms are blaring, your body's alarmed. You're like, no, something is not right. What else can we do? We can't shout for help. So yeah, we're just send our signals out there and get your attention some way or another. And so I think that that's recognizing those subtle symptoms of cortisol imbalance, right? Because isn't this essentially what stress does? It's our stress hormones that affect our cortisol levels, which is that fight or flight that's produced in our adrenal glands that is either there for our protection or for our warning to let us know that something else is not aligned, something's going wrong. Yeah.
No, absolutely. And I always say, like, your body is telling you what it needs and what's wrong with it. We just have to get better at listening. A couple of things that I think are really helpful for people is I think everyone should at some point keep a little vibe check journal every day where you just write down how you slept, if you're bloated, how your anxiety is. Like, keep track of some of the symptoms that you are experiencing and see if there is a pattern to them. See if there is a change in them. I think keeping track of those things can help you better understand them. Just being like, oh yeah, yesterday I felt kind of bad, today I feel like this, like just trying to remember how you're feeling and remembering these symptoms can be kind of difficult. Keeping a vibe check journal is nice. That's where it can be nice to talk to someone, a coach, a therapist who can help you translate what your body is trying to say to you, because it can be tough to really understand what your body is asking for. I know I definitely experienced that. Like I said, I ignored my body for a long time and it was speaking loudly to me. So we just have to listen. And if you're not sure how to listen, keeping a vibe check journal can be helpful, or speaking to someone can be helpful.
Yes, I agree. I second that. And it's really just a day-by-day process, because you need to measure how you will feel today versus yesterday. And then you start spotting those patterns, or you just get, like you said, a vibe check. It's a self-check-in every day. And I think that that's such valuable, whether we're dealing with stress or working towards our goal. When you talked about, so I want to piggyback here, what you had mentioned early on in this conversation about how you ended up having to change your exercise and nutrition. Those listening, like, if you already knew what was working for you and all of a sudden that is no longer working, that can also be an indicator. So
sometimes the people that I'm working with aren't complaining about these symptoms that we're talking about. They're not having trouble sleeping. They're not feeling anxious. But what they are experiencing is their body's not losing weight, or their body's not responding to a routine that they previously did. Even that can be an indication that something is up with your nervous system and you may need to make adjustments to your routine to better support where you're at today and in this season of your life and with what your body is, again, screaming and asking you for. And your body can ask you for those things in a lot of different ways. They could ask you for help by causing you to have panic attacks, or it could be begging you for help because it's not letting you lose body fat.
Right. And so what would you say if somebody's in a season right now or at a plateau, and maybe it's not stress, maybe it's just that plateau in their life, to still incorporate exercise and nutrition? What tips would you advise as far as still getting some daily movement? So it doesn't have to be like you go hard on your workouts like you used to, but also don't pull back so much that you're not moving. And then as far as the nutrition, any tips that you can advise of, like, certain foods or things to consume less or more of that give you that balance?
Yeah. So it's kind of what I mentioned before, how as a coach, I am so against extremes. So as you just said, if you're feeling bad and your body's not responding to your routine, the response to that shouldn't be an extreme, okay, we're done with this now. Like, you want to keep your body active, you still want to be eating healthy. So I really encourage making small changes. If you find you're at a plateau or you're experiencing all of these things that we're talking about and stress is kind of consuming you, I recommend making slight changes to your current routine. So if you're currently not exercising at all, that could be introducing some 10-minute, like, low-impact workouts into your routine. If you're currently potentially exercising way too much, maybe it's shortening your workouts a bit or giving yourself one extra rest day. So make small changes. I always have a couple of rules that I give to my clients that I'm working with if they are like displaying signs of a dysregulated nervous system and it seems like they're being affected by all of the things that we're talking about. And one of those rules is don't work out for longer than 30 minutes. So I always limit their workouts to 30 minutes. So that could be something that you try doing. If you currently are someone who thinks that you need to do a long and super intense workout to get results and to see your body change and your body isn't changing, maybe try shortening those workouts and not pushing yourself to an extreme every time you move. That's not necessary ever for anyone, but definitely if you're experiencing any sort of sensitivity in your body and your body's not responding the way that you want it to, lessening the intensity but still moving your body is really good. I would also say with food, as you mentioned, a lot of it is kind of mindset around food that also needs to change. If you, again, we're talking about like a few different type of people right now, like people who are just plateauing but not necessarily super stressed, or people who are super stressed. No matter what, aiming for a balanced plate is always key. So I find people who are stuck in a plateau or stuck with stress are hyperfixated on one specific thing. Maybe they've drastically cut their carbs. Maybe they're only focusing on protein and they don't have any vegetables on their plate. So focusing on a bit of balance is super important in your nutrition. And then focusing on not pushing yourself to the max extreme every single day with your workout routine. So it's all about balance and making sure your body feels more energized by your exercise and your.
I second that. And I think it comes down to just slightly pulling back, as what Molly said, you are having that sense of awareness. You're doing your daily check-ins. You've got your vibe check. You start recognizing symptoms. Are they improving or are they getting worse? And so you're taking the slow, it's a slow, steady process. Just like building muscle is a journey. Just like taking care of our health is not an overnight success. It's all part of that process. And I think if anything, it raises that level of awareness where the light bulb turns on now, and it's not just the external and the physical that gives the indicator of a health and wellness check-in, but really tuning in. What are you thinking? What are you feeling? Just sit in that quiet moment. Is your heart racing? Are you able to catch your breath? Practicing meditations and that slow breathing relaxes the heart and the lungs to breathe and align. And there's that sense of calmingness. And if you feel that like it's hard to get there, or you just can't because your mind is racing, then you have to really question what is happening in your surroundings, what's going on in your environment. And these are questions to ask yourself as these little flags are popping up everywhere. And just your goal is, I don't know why, I just thought of like the whack-a-mole, right? You're just kind of like, okay, got to get that one. But you're tackling these one step at a time, one day at a time, one symptomatic problem at a time. And to your point, that's such helpful, especially when we could treat a lot of our internal through our nutrition, through hydration. You know, maybe it's foregoing that second, third cup / pot of coffee. Is, you know what I mean? Like, maybe it's about hydrating with water. And so some of those are the trade-offs that I'm going to let you share a little bit more on that, since this is your area here.
No, you're absolutely right. It's about small changes. One thing I would also encourage everyone to do is start to incorporate small habits into your day-to-day that do allow you to check in with your nervous system. Those can be really simple things. So a lot of times when we think about improving our health, improving our stress, and we think of the big things, right? We think, okay, I need to be really specific with my diet. I need to really get after these workouts. But I would say, make sure you're incorporating small things. Like, can you fix your posture whenever you get a notification on your phone? Can you take a deep breath before you eat your meal instead of just diving right into eating? Can you make slight changes to how you're hydrating your body? Can you drink a little bit more water, and can you have one less cup of coffee or one less alcoholic beverage? Like, it's about the small changes. Whereas I see a lot, like in the health and fitness industry, of people being like, okay, no more caffeine, no more alcohol, no more this, no more that. It's not about extremes in that way. It's what small changes can I make that are going to help support my nervous system and my body a bit more. If you are in a place where you're feeling stuck and you feel like your body is sabotaging you, it's really those small things that are going to make the biggest difference, because those small things are going to help your body feel calmer throughout the day. And that's going to help your body then change and progress and do what you actually want it to do. Because I find a lot of people get stuck because of stress, where their body is just saying, no, we're going to stay exactly as we are right now because we want to keep you safe. But if you can periodically help your body calm down throughout the day, that can make even whatever exercise routine and diet that you're currently doing more effective, even maybe without changing anything. Maybe you just need those small things throughout the day, those little check-ins.
Right. And to add to what Molly just shared about the habits, it might be incorporating new routines as well. And so those who have trouble sleeping, maybe we need to start our bedtime routine earlier so that you have a longer runway for your body and your mind to relax. And, you know, as much as we can treat and heal our bodies, I also do want to note that if there is severity in it, seek medical, a professional that can help on that as well. And so not everything we can manage on our own, but there's a lot we can address and manage on our own. And to be honest, it's almost like, I know probably people are like, well, why is she going to say this? It's a trial and error. It really is.
It's so annoying to say, because a lot of times when I have conversations with people, they're looking for one magic answer. Mm-hmm. And yes, I would probably make lots more money if I was like, this is the magic pill that you need to take. This is the secret to everything. But the secret is actually that everyone is super unique. So you really do need to be tailoring your routine and your habits to you. And going back to kind of what we said before, you may also need to tailor it to the new you. You may need a different routine than what worked for you even 6 months ago. You may just be in a different place. So that's why it's so good to be checking in with your body, not only so that you can identify if you have a problem, but also to identify if you should be changing things. Like, I truly do believe that everyone should be regularly adjusting their routine based on their stress level. Like, if you're going through a super stressful time, the workouts that you should be doing should look different than what you're doing when you're not going through that stressful time. So just having those check-ins so that you can adjust your routine accordingly is super important. And it's something that I think is not talked about enough, because a lot of people just think, this is the challenge I'm going to do and I'm going to follow it no matter what, and it's going to make me look the way I want. But that's unfortunately not the case. You need to be following the right challenge for the right time in your life.
Be mindful of, not every influencer out there is your answer to find that harmony and balance and regulate your nervous system.
Absolutely. I mean, we were just saying this, but everyone needs something unique. So if you, and I fell into this trap like long ago, where I would see a fitness influencer or like someone in a magazine, and I'd be like, oh, I want to look like them. What are they doing? And then I would try to exactly copy what they were doing, and then I wouldn't look like them. And it doesn't work, because your body is so unique. So if someone is trying to just sell you exactly what worked for them, there's no guarantee that it's going to work for you. In fact, it probably won't work for you, because you probably need little tweaks that make more sense for your body and your mind.
Right. And any last minute advice that, as we wrap up today's conversation, that to incorporate when we talk about the physical health and how that affects our mental and our emotional health and well-being. Now, we're not saying that you have to go to the gym and give up your favorite foods, but keeping something that is doable and practical. Like for me, when I was going through a tough season, I was still going to the gym, but I wasn't lifting anywhere near as heavy as I used to. But what I did to supplement that would go for long walks, because I needed a change of scenery. I needed to clear my head. I needed to be in nature. And it just needed to be at a pace that was sustainable for where I was at the cadence of my rhythm. And it was such a difference. And now I've actually fallen in love with walking, not from a health perspective, but more of a mental perspective.
Yeah, I actually have fallen in love with walking as well. Last year was my start to my walking journey, and I absolutely love it. To answer your question, my advice would really be, let me gather my thoughts because I totally got distracted by your walking rant, and I'm now so excited. What was your question initially? I'm so sorry.
Any additional tips or advice that we haven't already covered for somebody who is maybe just figuring out what is that next step? Because maybe their passion, like for me, like I said, going to the gym, lifting heavy, because it's a way to like bang out the stress, like drop the weights or whatever it was. But I realized that was not conducive because sometimes that extra fuel and the energy that it took to do that exacerbated the stress. And I felt more anxious when I left the gym.
Yeah, absolutely. Like that phrase of sweat the stress away, I wish that that didn't exist because to a lot of people, that means, oh, I'm going to go, you know, run some sprints if I'm feeling overwhelmed. And that's actually going to stress your body out more. So I would say, like I said before, make sure your workout is matching what's going on in your life. Because if your workout is highly intense, I will say this, all workouts are a stressor. Workout is a stressor always, but workouts that are longer and workouts that are more intense stress your body out more. So things like high intensity cardio, things like exercising for 3 hours straight, those things are exposing your body to either a higher stressor or stressing your body out for a long period of time. So you really do want to be adjusting your workouts based on what you need in that day. Some things I think are really great to do for your workouts to support your nervous system more is, first of all, get outside occasionally. Like, can you move your body outside? Mix up your routine sometimes and get that fresh air. That can be amazing. Something that I also think everyone should do after every single workout they do is something called a Shavasana after your workout. So lie down on your back, close your eyes, and just breathe for 30 seconds to 3 minutes after you finish your workout. Amazing for your nervous system. Because as I said, every workout you do is a little bit of a stressor for your body. So if you are going from that stressor, your workout, right into something else that's stressful, like work or chores or kids or whatever is going on in your day, then that's not giving your body and specifically your nervous system a chance to relax. So do your workout, give yourself a cool down time, give yourself like some relaxation time before you get back into your day. That is something that I really encourage everyone to do because then it's going to help your nervous system be like, okay, we're working hard. Okay, now we're safe. And now we can get back into our day. And that's what you want instead of, okay, we're working hard. Okay, we're stressed. Okay, we're going to keep being stressed. And then that's when stress can start to overwhelm your body and start to become a bad thing. So just giving yourself time to rest and pause in your day is so valuable. After your workout, before meals, after something stressful happened, like allow yourself to pause and rest and breathe. And then with your workouts, like definitely tacking that on to the end of your workout is going to be so cool for you.
Yes, such great tips. I love the approach of the less is more. Because then we discover more about ourselves, less that we're diving into the next thing and doing the next thing, which is only compounding those stressors. Today's episode has been value-packed. So go back and listen, take notes. You have dropped so many little nuggets and tips and strategies and takeaways. So Molly, thank you for being our guest today. And of course, how can our listeners follow along with you, learn more about the works that you do and connect?
I know that this topic of stress and hormones and like all of that stuff can be really overwhelming, right? Listen to this, see what you resonate with. But if you want some more help, I've actually written an ebook that I would love to give your listeners for free. And it's called Conquer Your Cortisol, and it's going to really teach you how to master that stress hormone. And it's filled with a lot of really practical tips, not just, you know, stuff that seems unachievable. It's going to teach you really simple habits that you can start introducing into your life that will help better support your stress hormones. It'll give you more ideas for exercising when you are feeling stressed. So if you're interested in that, it is on my website, which is just my name, mollymcnamee.com/cortisol. And if you've related to this conversation, that's going to be a really good next step for you. I would love for you to connect with me on Instagram, which is under my business name, mfit.workouts. I know how lonely and frustrating like a weight loss journey or an anxiety journey can be. So if you just need like a shoulder to lean on, just send me a message and I would love to be a part of your support squad.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Molly. Of course, all those will be in the show notes below. So be sure to click and follow and do all the things. And if today's episode resonates with you, make sure that you connect with Molly, let her know. And of course, we love a good review if you love it.
Ready to release the pressure and find calm in the middle of chaos? Start with the I Am Enough 10-Minute Reset, a free faith-fueled guide to help you pause, breathe, and realign your heart and mind. Click the links in the show notes below to get started.
Hey there. Thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of the Confident Woman Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode as much as I did, please be sure to like, subscribe, and leave us a review. Thanks again for listening.